has to be a data-driven resolution, is, I think, what you're suggesting. Now that we're all aware of this, and we want to do something, then that would be the next step then. Okay, so we want a resolution and a letter. Is that good with you, Joe?
Yes, it's, you know, as they said, specifics.
Okay.
Not a word salad. You know, some specifics.
Then that's what we'll do, and we should be able to bring something back in February, if that's acceptable to everybody. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to say anything on this matter? Okay, so I think that what we have are instructions to gather data. Hopefully it's available with Fish and Wildlife or some of the groups that are in opposition. They may have a lot of the literature.
I think it's the groups, because I think that the Wildlife Commission has already staked out its position pretty clearly on this, and I think it's going to take overwhelming public opposition to get them to change their mind.
I think so, too, and that's why I would like it to also go on our social media once we pull it together. Okay, thank you, and thank everyone. Yes. Okay, we are at 13B, acceptance of bid from DDS Enterprises for the new emergency generator at the community center for $73,000. Steve, hi.
Good afternoon. Steve Wargo, Director of Public Works. Ponce Inlet Community Center is a critical facility that serves everyone here in the community and for during emergency events as well as other events. So we have put together a package and worked with the state to get a grant to help pay for that. And with that, we put together a bid. And we got three responses from that bid. And then with that being said, DDS Enterprises came in at $73,000. I vetted them because they were so much lower than the second low bid. And we will be getting a Generac diesel generator with a 150-gallon diesel tank attached to it. They have it all ready to get to do the 7 feet above sea level so that we make sure that no matter how bad the storm is, it's not going to get flooded out. It will be a 45 kW generator, which actually is more than what we need at the community center, but it will allow us to do add-ons and stuff to the community center that will still be able to be run by the generator in case of emergencies.
Down the road.
Looking at the budget that was set up prior to me being here, we had it set up that the state's gonna give us $20,000 and we had budgeted $35,000, so that does leave us short. But luckily enough, we have got some projects done under budget, so therefore I should be able to come up with the money to cover the shortfall in here. So what I'm asking is if you would please give me your blessing so that we can get moving forward on getting the emergency generator. And one other thing too, I did talk to DDS and they said it's about 8 to 12 weeks out if once he gets the verification that he's got this and the bid has been awarded to him.
Steve, I want to thank you so much for the excellent preparation for your staff report and for finding the money. So I'd like to start there, just thanking you for that. Does anyone have any questions?
No, but I have my comment.
Go ahead.
And having had many bids and you started doing, which answered most of my question, you've already checked them out because aware when you get this spread of bid, you're waiting for the first big change order when the low bidder gets it. So you've already prepared yourself for that. So that makes me much more comfortable.
Yes, sir. I am not a proponent of change orders, so I like to make sure everything is secure and everything's done right up front so that we don't have change orders.
Well, but that doesn't mean they won't try.
Yeah, they'll be hard-pressed to get a change order out of me.
In fact, I've been with enough contractors that were honest enough for me. In every bid, the first thing they look for is a something in there, and they've already got their first change order ready to go when they submit the bid. Been here, done that too many times. So sounds like so have you. I feel comfortable.
Thank you,
Gary.
And I know it's a shock, but Steve, I do feel comfortable. Normally, I would be sitting here saying, what did we miss for $18,000? You know, Kim's back there laughing. But I'm very comfortable with it. I'm looking at the other bids that you know, we have. I'm good with it in the money that you're saving, and now's a good time for me to make this statement. And I made it to Michael the other day. For the museum that was being repainted, Steve shared with me that we actually got it repainted for $6,000. And our budget, I think, Michael, was $16,000 or $18,000.
Yes, that's correct. And that was based on another quote, so we did good.
Exactly. So my whole point is, normally I'd be saying, where's my $18,000 and where did it go? But understanding what you do and how you feel, I'm very comfortable. Thank you.
Yeah. And just so you know, too, we had $19,000 budgeted to replace the fencing, and we got that. We're getting that for $13,000.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah.
We had $35,000 to do a new boardwalk at the museum. We got a bid now that I'm vetting as we speak for $14,000. So
thank you,
puts
Steve.
A smile on my face. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Joe?
No.
Bill?
No.
Okay, anyone in the audience have any?
Okay, I was going to ask Steve, was the vendor able to make it here to the meeting today?
I invited him, and he said he was going to be here, but Mr. Nick Shepherd was.
Okay, I was just asking. Thank you.
Any questions from the audience? Okay, seeing none, we'll take a motion.
I'll make a motion. I make a motion to award the bid 2024-06 to DDS Enterprises, LLC, in the amount of $73,000 for the installation of a new emergency generator at the Ponce Inlet Community Center.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Well done, Steve. Thank you for being here, and thank you for doing the work you're doing.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
It's still shocking. It's still shocking, the amount of difference.
We are down to already comments from the town council. Vice Mayor Smith.
No further comment today.
Council Member Villanella.
No comment. Just another interesting session. And I did get confirmation from a bone doctor that I do have carpal tunnel.
Oh. Sorry.
Yes. What was me?
Council Member White.
I'll take Joe's spot. I just have a couple things. First of all, it was an honor for me to attend the Florida League of Mayors Regional Roundtable on January 9th and 10th, held at St. Augustine Beach City Hall, as requested by our mayor. The focus of the meeting was a collaborative discussion with the restaurant owners and hotel general managers to identify the best practices for how each business can best serve the needs of individual communities and also how the local municipal government can assist them in their efforts. Daytona Beach Shores Mayor Nancy Miller was the chair of this roundtable meeting. She did a fantastic job facilitating and promoting an open dialogue with each of the attending mayors and vice mayors. This meeting drove home the importance of having a great relationship with our local businesses. Beyond just the dollar value, it's important for local leaders to visit these establishments to understand their needs from an environmental and promotional aspect. On the environmental aspect, we learned about a program called Plug the Hole. Plug the Hole program. involves a beachfront restaurant in St. Augustine that has a beach ramp adjacent to their establishment. The St. Augustine Beach government, along with the owner, worked to have St. Johns County secure an evergreen permit to bring in truckloads of sand to build a temporary dune to plug the hole next to the beach approach ramp in advance of approaching hurricanes. This is only one example I heard. There's many, many more. Perhaps the biggest takeaway from FLM is the working relationship that you develop when meeting with other mayors and vice mayors. Each town faces a unique set of challenges, and learning from what they've overcome provides a tremendous opportunity to learn. Jane, I enjoyed the event, and I'm grateful and honored to have attended on the behalf of the town. Also, I attended a meeting, the Volusia County Elected Officials Roundtable, on January 13th, which was held at Daytona Beach International Airport. As you probably know, I serve as an alternate for our mayor at this important event. Lois serves as the chair for this meeting, which covers topics that involve all the municipalities across Volusia County, as well as the unincorporated areas. The mayor did an outstanding job chairing this meeting. I will let her share with you some of the details, so I'll leave it there. The last thing, this is really good. I attended the Volusia County special meeting on January 14th, which was held at the County Council Chambers in DeLand. The purpose of the meeting was to listen to Volusia County Council discuss the possibilities of imposing a building moratorium across Volusia County. Volusia County staff did an outstanding job for detailing what they are currently working on in the unincorporated portion of Volusia County that they control. The county attorney also did a good job advising the council of the legalities of what could and could not be imposed upon the incorporated municipalities. Our town manager, Mike Disher, addressed the council and represented Ponce in a very professional manner, sharing some of the details of our Watershed Master Program. I know that Mike will be speaking on it later, so again, I'll leave it at that. But the county chair remarked, "Well done," when Mike was finished. Great job, Mike. You represent us well. One comment was made by Volusia County Council member about changing Volusia County Town Charter, Volusia County Charter, to allow more oversight of the incorporated municipalities. As you can probably imagine, that caught my attention. Rest assured, I will keep an ear out for anything along those lines. I'll continue to monitor the future development and report back to the council on these other topics as they come up. Lastly, I really enjoyed the farmer's market at Picky. It was a good turnout from my understanding. Vendors were fantastic, very open and welcome and accommodating. So thank you, Mark. Thank you, Picky.
If I can, I want to let you know, Skip, that Mayor Miller did call me to say that she was so appreciative of your contributions to all of the discussions on Thursday, and I'm just appreciative that we can rely upon you, and I know you did a great job and come back and report to us, so thank you. Bill?
Just a couple things. Remember, we have our town hall meeting February 5th. I know Mike will be discussing that. But the 7th, we have our training. Starts at 8:30, Deltona. I invite everybody on the council to be here at 7:15, and we'll take off in my car and get there by 8 o'clock so we can get registered. On the 8th is the gala. I gave each of you the information for the gala. And the reason why I'm bringing the gala up is because I thought it was something interesting. This will be the third year of the mayor's gala, originally organized for the First Step Shelter by the mayor of Daytona Beach. And there was an anonymous donation given that was a matchable donation during the gala the first year. It was a $30,000, and it was matched. There are people that I think are members of the Lady of Lourdes Church, which was one of the driving forces of the beginning of the First Step Shelter back when it was first discussed along with that the faith organization. And the people, the family or whatever it is, the Amos family, were so impressed that both times they met the $30,000 that they have raised it to $50,000. And they do it anonymously each time. the 22nd or the 21st of January. I'm going to say a couple things about the shelter, and then I'm going to bring up the 21st of January that's coming up, and we won't be in town, which shame on me. But I just wanted to give you, we've been open for 5 years. December 19th, 2024 was our fifth anniversary. And this past year, we had 544 residents come into the shelter. The previous year, we had 367. We're getting, and I've told you this time and time and time, we're getting more shelter residents that have never been homeless in their life, but have now become homeless because of what's happened with the rents and finances, inflation, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought this was interesting. Ponce Inlet participates in the shelter. We were one of the first municipalities to be involved in it besides Daytona Beach. But and we don't send a lot of people there. I think over the years we've sent like 5 or 6 people total, and our share that we give is minuscule, maybe 1% of the total operating budget. But this past year, we had 822 people come to the shelter to just go into a place to sleep overnight, compared to 636 the previous year. Now, with what's it, 165 Three Cliff, the new one that municipalities have to have a place. An enclosed place for the people to go. So we know we're going to have a large, we believe we're going to have a large increase of people coming to the shelter for the safe zone. It has to be a safe location, electricity, water, restrooms, etc. So, and I'm the treasurer, and I can tell you right now we're sitting on about $1 million in reserve funds for the shelter. The 22nd of January, the Volusia County Council will be bringing up whether they will participate in the shelter as they did previously. When the shelter was built, the county council gave, close to $2 million, along with Daytona Beach, to have the shelter built. Then they committed to a $400,000 stipend for 5 years. Daytona Beach renewed that stipend. The Volusia County Council has not. With 165-3, the fact that we just had to, because of a suit filed against Daytona Beach concerning a law that had been in effect in San Antonio, Texas for years, but the judge that got ours said it's illegal, but that San Antonio still has theirs in operation, the solicitation. So times have changed, and the shelter needs help. So I hope, Ponce Inlet, we're going to have a number of people there at the shelter. But what I'm looking for, and I don't know if it's possible, but I would love to see Ponce Inlet put something together that the county legislators, the county council, will have, saying that Ponce Inlet will continue to support the shelter in the future, if that's at all, it's all possible. Because I mean, we have a suit going on that I can't talk about. Shame on the suit, but it's gotten such negative press, and it has been absolutely so successful. I tell you, the number of meals that we give, we busted last month. It was 311,000. We served over 10,000 meals this past month. We're at our absolute capacity for the last 3 months or 2 months. So this month will be three months, our absolute capacity of 100 residents. And the previous month, the 50 new residents, and I think I told you this, the 50 new residents we got that had never been homeless before, with the counselors there and finding the different locations and organizations, we were able to put 25 of them in housing within the month. So thank you, Ponce, for supporting it. But we need your support. We need the Volusia County to support us. So if it's at all possible, I'd like to see the council do a consensus to either have someone there representing Ponce Inlet. Shame on me, but I won't be. But we're going to be up in Atlanta celebrating my wife's 80th birthday. Shame on her. But If it's possible, I'd like to know if we could.
First, part of my comments are going to actually address what you're talking about.
Oh, and I'll shut up.
No, you don't have to shut up, but I'm going to circle back to that, okay? Are you done, Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. I just want to cover just a few other things. Last week, our town manager and public safety director, Mike and Dan, and I participated in the Volusia delegation meeting along with about 100 other presenters. It's an opportunity for us to make our appropriation requests, and Mike will be addressing the meeting under his comments, but I want the opportunity to say, had you been there, you would have been very proud of our town manager. He did an excellent job. So I just want to say that right now, Mike. And thank you, Skip. As far as the roundtable, the Volusia Elected Officials Roundtable, I am the new chair, and an initiative that I placed on the agenda on Monday was the creation of a stormwater management and flooding subcommittee. And I appointed at-large County Councilman Jake Johansson and Daytona Beach Shores Mayor Nancy Miller as the co-chairpersons. This is an opportunity. We talk all the time about collaboration amongst the cities and the counties and all of our St. John's water management and the businesses and everybody in the county. Well, it's time to harness this good relationship and put together the opportunity for all of us to meet and sit down and identify what clearly the priorities are and to work our way through to hopefully find solutions to the issues that stormwater management and flooding raise. So that, to me, is a very exciting subcommittee, and we will be looking forward to their report, and I'll be reporting back to you. I'll be on the subcommittee as well. Now, Skip mentioned the moratorium, and I just want to say how smart our attorney was, because he told us early on the lack of legal authority for the county under the charter, essentially, to impose a moratorium of this nature on our municipalities. And after a lot of fanfare, that's what was presented at the county council. So, Cliff, thank you. Thank you. And part of that discussion, our at-large councilman, Jake Johansson, did present to the county the fact that there is this subcommittee now, and that the subcommittee becomes a resource, the subcommittee where he's co-chairing, it's a resource for the county council as well as they do their work. Yesterday, I hosted a mayor's call, and this is done 4 times a year for all Volusia County mayors to discuss the issues in their towns and cities. We talk about best practices. And really all I want to share with you today about that call is to simply let you know how well the mayors in our county have been working well together. There's a desire for all of us together to help move the county forward on the issues that affect us all, whether it's insurance or condo laws, vacation rentals. And we recognize strength in numbers at times up in Tallahassee as we're advocating to minimize cost to our taxpayers and benefit all taxpayers. And above all else, we recognize that certain issues know no jurisdictional boundaries. So a water problem in Holly Hill that they may be trying to fix, you want to do no harm and not impact the cities that are around them. So we hope that we maintain this good working relationship. Finally, with the First Step Shelter Bill, I spoke with Victoria Thalberg, the executive director of First Step Shelter, because she had made a request that I appear at county council in support of their request for funds from the county that is on the agenda at the January 21 meeting. There was, you'll remember, an interlocal agreement that specified the county's initial contributions, but that agreement just ended in September of 2024. As such, Daytona Beach requested the county council to agree to a 5-year extension of the county's contract at the same funding levels in previous years. So what their request, Daytona Beach is requesting that the county agree to an additional $2 million in operational funding through fiscal year 2030. Now, back in August, the County Council directed their staff to bring this request forward at a future meeting for discussion, and that's what the January 21 meeting is. What Ms. Fahlberg had asked me to focus on was that House Bill 1365, which we briefly touched on last year, but it's a bill that prohibited us, municipalities and counties, from allowing individuals to regularly camp or sleep outdoors on public property, including sidewalks. Now, it also set forth legal requirements for the municipalities and the counties regarding where and how we can allow public camping or sleeping by homeless individuals. First Step Shelter, the entity itself and what it does for our community, it satisfies the legal requirements for us as a municipality if we choose to partner with them, which we have. Now, if those legal requirements of the statute are not met, this law provides legal avenues where our residents and businesses can challenge our local policies on homelessness. So I'm seeking the consensus of the council to agree to the preparation of a letter on behalf of the town to our district representative, County Councilman and Vice Chair Matt Reinhardt, supporting a request, not their request, but supporting a request for funds for the reasons that I just stated. And the letter will be provided to Councilman Reinhardt for his use at the meeting. I do not intend on appearing, and I think we need to ask our attorney whether we're able to even make a statement of support that goes beyond the current budget, because I don't know if we can do that in terms of, oh, we'll just keep supporting. But, you know, perhaps Councilman White is at many of the meetings, and in the event you are at that meeting, we should also discuss whether we would like him to just sit and listen and let Councilman Reinhardt handle this, or if you'd like him to say something. So what I'm asking of you, all of you, is how would you like to proceed? Do you like the idea of a letter that essentially says we're supporting the request? I know your answer. How do you all feel? Absolutely. Yes?
Yeah, and yes, Mayor, and I have no problem, as you know, getting up in front of and speaking with the council. And I would love to do that for the council, for town, but also for Bill.
Well, that's wonderful. Gary, you feel that way as well. Cliff, are we allowed to address what Bill would like us to address by suggesting, what was it that you'd really like suggested as far as future funding?
Right now, they're not participating.
No, I meant, I thought you wanted a statement that the town of Ponce Inlet will support in the future.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we
can
do that.
We can't say that, can we?
We do it yearly.
Yeah, yearly. Yeah. During the budget season, as appropriate, you can't go beyond your, you can't get out over your skis.
Yeah.
So we can have the letter drafted. That can be done. So the next question is, would you prefer that Councilman Reinhardt handle it on behalf of our town, or would you like to authorize Skip to address the county council within the four corners of the letter and answer any questions?
Isn't Matt the vice chair this year?
Matt is our vice chair.
So I would definitely let him do it.
Oh, okay. So you want to let who do it? You want
Matt.
You want Matt to handle the whole thing?
The presentation. Yeah. Skip's going to be there. He can speak to it also.
Okay. Then you would like Skip to be put in a speaker?
Yep.
Fine. Exactly. With both of them. Gary? Fine.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, does anyone have any questions on this? I think it would be appropriate for me to open up if anyone needs to understand what we're doing. But, okay, I'll have the letter prepared, and we'll go from there. It's agenda item 10, Skip.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm used to it.
You understand. Okay, so that's the end of my comments, and we can move on to our town manager.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I'll just say, if you would like me to help in that in any way, too, I can do that. I know the First Step Shelter is a huge, huge bargain for us as a town, given the requirements. In exchange for the small amount that we pay, we save by not having to create our own homeless shelter, essentially. That is a huge, huge bargain for us. So then moving on, thank you very much for the compliments about speaking at the different things. I'm happy to do that as well. The first one of those was the legislative delegation meeting, and with the council support, we were there to ask for two things. One was continued support for our request for funding for our septic to sewer program. As you know, we had an agreement already approved and adopted by DEP for $10.4 million. And we had the agreement signed by both parties, and then that was back in August or September, I think. I mean, we thought that was a done deal. Come to find out that, no, there's someone at EPA at the federal level, where that's the original source of the money, questioning our eligibility for that. So we sent letters out to our federal legislative delegation and got encouraging support for that. So we wanted to make sure our state delegation was aware of that issue as well. And then the second one was to ask for financial assistance with that project in the form of helping to offset the cost for connection to our property owners who are going to be connected to the sewer once that gets installed. And that's to the tune of approximately $5,000 per lot. And so that would help offset the cost of having to close up the septic tank, any kind of permits that are associated with that, and then also making the connection from the sewer to the home. So, yeah, we're going to be submitting those requests to our delegation by the end of this month. And then on to the county council meeting. Really, my job originally there was to say, to try to convince them that a moratorium would not be appropriate for us. It wouldn't apply to us. But then as the discussion went on, it kind of shifted. Then they kind of acknowledged that they couldn't do a moratorium. Then it became a discussion about proposed solutions involving stormwater regulations and other things. So really, I wanted to make the point of, here's how Ponce Inlet may be a little bit different than other communities, and we have maybe some different problems, but we're ready to partner with you in developing these regulations and making sure everyone has better stormwater and resilience going forward. So that point was, we're not getting, 100 lot subdivisions. In fact, our last subdivision was in 2000, and the one before that was 2002. So there's not a whole lot of new lots being created. We're almost built out. Our problem is with the retrofits, making sure that the majority of homes that were constructed before modern stormwater regulations are provided with adequate drainage. So in any case, I thought that was received well, so we'll see what happens. This upcoming council meeting on the 21st, there's another item the public may want to be aware of, and that is a task assignment to Taylor Engineering for designing of the Lighthouse Point Park Boardwalk project. That is going to be an extensive replacement and expansion of the boardwalk system throughout that park. They're going to be replacing the at-grade concrete and gravel paths with elevated boardwalks throughout. They're going to be replacing the worn-out boardwalks that are there and widening them, and then making new connections between different boardwalks throughout the park. And they're also going to be putting in a kayak launch. So that's going to be a huge project. So as they go through this design process, we're going to reach out to them, see if they would like our input. And then also, once it gets to construction, Ponce Inlet will be the permitting agency for that. So they'll have to go to us to get permits. Okay, and then some updates from our different departments. With the fire department, we've purchased the new Quint fire truck, and we expect to take delivery on that on the 24th. It is going to go into service 3 or 4 weeks after that, once it gets fully equipped and we get all our people trained on it. It'll be ready to go. We're thinking of having some sort of a dedication ceremony and demonstration for that at the right time. With our police department, they're going to be gearing up for another pedestrian crosswalk enforcement detail next month. That's in conjunction with a pedestrian safety organization called Best Foot Forward. They did two of those last year, I believe. And the goal of this program is always education. It's not to write tickets. Most violators are given a warning and told what the rules are. It's only the most serious, flagrant violations that get a ticket. Now, in the Planning and Development Department, we finally hired a new building inspector. That's Philip Haight, or no, sorry, Height. He will be starting on February 3rd. So we're very happy to welcome him on board. And we finished the initial steps of our online permit application process. That is something we've been working forward toward for a very long time. So now, starting on January 21st, people will be able to apply online for a very simple permit. So select number. We're going to start with the simple ones. These are like fence replacement, window door replacement, re-roofs, things that don't require a lot of plan review. So they'll be able to start that on the 21st. And then once that gets going and we make sure to get all the bugs worked out, then we'll proceed on to different kinds of permits. And that is something, by the way, that's required by state law. We've been working toward it for a long time, and this town has made a lot of investments toward that. So we're excited to finally see that get going. Then, let's see, with Public Works. Yesterday, our Public Works crews reestablished the swales along a portion of South Peninsula Drive. That was starting at Marie Drive and then down alongside the Beacon Point condos. So they removed approximately 30 to 40 cubic yards of dirt and to reestablish those swales, and that's going to help improve the drainage along that stretch of road. And then the last thing, this was already mentioned before, the painting in the museum was finished that last week. We hired a local company, Wagner Restoration. You did the work significantly under budget. It was $6,000 or $7,000 as opposed to the $16,000 that we had budgeted. So we're very happy with that. And that's all I have.
Mike, thank you very much. Cliff?
Briefly, I wanted to share with you that we got the biggest nothing burger out of the Attorney General's office in our request for an opinion from them regarding our rental inspection fee that goes along with our short-term rental ordinance. Without going into the details, just trust that your government, especially your Attorney General's office, can avoid work by simply saying we don't want to do the work, which is exactly what they told us. And we just don't feel like doing an opinion on this. If you want to give us a little more information, we might tell you a little bit about something that we really already kind of know. Obviously this would be a public record. Anybody who wants to get it can get a copy of it. But just trust that if you didn't think your government was working, you're not wrong. We are going to devise a strategy. I know Mike already spoke to my partner, Drew, today. It may involve legislative change to get the answers that we seek and also determine going forward, you know, what we're going to do regarding enforcement. Because as it sits right now, other than the obvious change in legislation, which would be wonderful for us, and maybe we're in a good position to do that given our status with the League of Cities and we have a lobbyist now and so forth, the options aren't particularly inviting. As you will recall, this was raised by a local and current sitting judge, and we would have to sue that judge in a declaratory action to bring something before a judge, which was the suggestion of the AG, in case you wondered, you can always go to court. That's essentially what she said. And I said, well, we knew that. That's why we went to you first. And so we would literally have to sue Judge Craig in a declaratory action to have some other judge in Volusia County tell us who's right and who's wrong. That's not particularly inviting, although it's an option. We could just go ahead and pursue code enforcement against that judge and anybody else that we chose to, and then they could sue us. And again, not an inviting option when all we're trying to do is be right one way or the other, whichever way it goes. And so that's where we are. Those options, and particularly the legislative option, are going to be discussed further, I'm sure, between us, our lobbyist, the mayor, Mr. Disher, and whatnot, and then we'll devise a strategy of going forward. But after months of waiting and a lot of money spent writing the opinion to them as a request that provided a bunch of research, we got a 3-paragraph, yeah, we're not going to do this. So there you go.
Can I ask a question? Did I read the newspaper correctly that said Palm Coast and Flagler County just passed a short-term rental ordinance and the fee for the permit is $450?
Perhaps read it correctly, but I don't know how they could have passed an ordinance now without being in violation of the current law. The only reason we have one is because we had one that went on the books before.
It was in this week's newspaper. You may want to take a look.
Yeah, it was in there.
It was,
Well, thank you, Cliff.
Sure. Yeah, if I can jump in on that. Yeah, about the only thing you can do is if you you're not grandfathered, you can pass an inspection ordinance, which is what we did a few years ago. But you can't create a new rental permit program, which is what we did back in 2003.
I think you read it correctly. Okay, now we are back to citizen participation for 2 minutes on any matter that was just discussed by the council, our manager, and attorney. Is there anyone who wishes to come up and speak for 2 minutes? Oh, Mark, yes, come.
Mark Obeck, 4758 South Peninsula Drive. I just want to tag on to Councilman White's comment about the farmer's market. It was a good day. We had an unexpected visit from a state inspector. It was totally unexpected. Very few issues arose, but he made a recommendation that we're going to actively look into. And that is to acquire a license as a permanent food service, non-seating facility. He said you should do that because you have a commercial kitchen, a full commercial kitchen, and once you license it as a commissary, it gets licensed as a commissary, then the liability associated with any food services that take place in that facility goes down dramatically, apparently. So we're going to look at doing that. I think that that additional protection, as I read into it more, can only be beneficial. And actually, it might provide the community center with an additional revenue option, which is to rent out the commercial kitchen. So I just want to give a heads up to the council, and I actually thanked the inspector for coming and highlighting that benefit for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Is there anyone else? Okay, council, nothing? We're done? Okay, so at 3:42, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.